This is All Things Vocal Radio Show. I'm your host, Judy Rodman. You'll be hearing interviews and music from new recording artists. And you get some vocal training tips for your own voice. Every episode, I'm going to give you a free vocal lesson. That's right, a professional tip you can go on to use for your next recording or live performance. If your voice matters, hey, I can fix ya. Okay, time for your Power Path and Performance vocal lesson. Today we're going to talk about finding your voice, how it can help psychologically. The human voice communicates from the inside out. As a vocal coach, I've discovered that when I help someone find their voice, the full instrument, this is often accompanied by a fullness and wholeness in the human psyche. Many times it's psychological blocks that keep the voice small, thin, strained, and weak. When a person discovers and feels the vibrations of vocal resonance they never knew or had forgotten they could create, it can be quite freeing for the spirit. The speaking voice can illuminate issues just as much as the singing voice, and healing the speaking voice is frequently a prerequisite to healing the singing voice. Everyone needs to know their voices are valid. I've become quite convinced that to live a truly satisfied life, we need to believe our lives have meaning to others. If I somehow come to believe that my voice is not allowed, heard, or valued, I won't sound my voice, or I will sound it weakly, thinly, or harshly in rebellion of the suppression. After all, what's the point in making pleasing melodic sounds if there's no reception for the message? My voice gets lost. The truth is that everyone's voice is valid. This truth can get muddied in childhood by parents who, for one reason or another, never really listen, or siblings who get more of the attention, or when a child even merely perceives that this is the case. It gets lost in adulthood from subtle negative cues from society, abusive relationships, traumatic events and physical illness, mental illness, acquired phobias and emotional disorders, or other perceptions of unworthiness. But the truth about a voice's validity can indeed be learned or relearned. This voice I'm talking about starts in the heart. It carries messages that the person must come to believe needs to be delivered. This can happen when even one person notices and begins to be present and truly listens to the person. That means everyone can help. I challenge you to try a little experiment. Find one person a day, a family member, friend, or stranger, and carve out just even a few moments to give them your ear at full attention. Notice the subtle lift that they and you experience. You may find yourself truly caring about what they say and learning something new. Every ear is also valid and important. Without ears, voices are rather useless. Sometimes the voice needs professional attention. Talk therapy with a great therapist can obviously help, as can free programs like AA or Al-Anon. Vocal lessons with a vocal coach sensitive to what your vocal tone is communicating can help you discover a voice you never knew you had. All right, let's hear some music from our guest artist today. She's Americana artist Lori McLean.
Cinderella lived happily ever after. Juliet died a child. I'm in the middle of my life, my heart's still running wild. Oh, I've been trying to exorcise these romantic delusions, but I keep coming back to the same conclusion. Wouldn't it be wonderful pictures they presented, or the ones that I invented, fooled me into thinking I'd found the one. And each time, oh, I really believed. And tell the truth, send me free. Wouldn't it be wonderful to find a love so true? We'd always want to be together. With smiling eyes, no fears, no lies. In each minute we'd find forever. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, I've been chasing be wonderful. We'd always want to be together.
Laurie McLean, you are with me today on the phone. Where are you right now?
I'm in Nashville. Moved to Nashville 13 years ago in 97.
Wow. I'm surprised we haven't crossed paths more often. Nashville's just a big town.
It's a small town and a big town, sort of all rolled into one, isn't it?
It is. Your music, it's full of real-life perspective, multifaceted relationships, and roots music instrumentation. Tell me how you came to know and love this folk roots music. Who inspired you?
Oh, wow. Well, thanks so much for what you said. That was really nice. I started when I was a really little girl. My parents took me to see Mary Poppins, Julie Andrews, you know, and her singing just inspired me. And I was 6 years old, and I walked around the house after that saying, I'm going to be a singer when I grow up. And then when I was a little older, my mom and I would watch the Johnny Cash show. It was on Sunday nights. It was an amazing show, and he was so eclectic, and I got to see all these great performers, folk and country, and I kind of got a real soft spot for country and folk all at the same time, and sort of, you know, it kind of brought together that whole, the California country sound that the Byrds and Ricky Nelson and Gram Parsons and all that did, and then, you know, I was just really into James Taylor and Joni Mitchell and Jackson Browne and Leonard Cohen. And I just was sort of avoiding the whole hard rock thing. And I loved the folk world. And I loved Hank Williams. And I was an odd kid in my group of kids.
You know, that's true. All those artists you just mentioned, including James Taylor and the Byrds, there's something common that's running through all that, and I sometimes think that some parts of more modern country has sort of lost touch with that thing that makes you emotionally attached to the music.
Yeah, with some exceptions, of course, because I've noticed I occasionally will turn on country radio just to kind of see what they're up to, what's the, you know, because they play the same song so much that you only have to listen every few weeks to kind of catch up. I'll hear songs that are just, they just sound like classic country songs that just have been around forever, but they'll be brand new, and I'm excited about those. And then there's kind of this new thing that's been going on for the last few years where they're kind of philosophical, metaphysical ideas, really nice. Like the first one that pops in my head is, you know, Live Like You Are Dying. I sort of like the songs that say something really important. But the other thing that's going on is this whole Americana thing that's been sort of smoldering under the radar for a while and seems to be sort of a last, it's like a refuge for the old rockers, you know, like you got Robert Plant and Alison Krauss getting together, and then they became big Americana stars recently, and Sun is getting all this credibility with all these, you know, Joe Ely and all the Texas songwriters, and then you've got this, that sort of very broad Americana definition, which to me just says real good roots music.
I bought some rose-colored glasses at the Mission thrift shop. I was almost driving by when something told me to stop. 49 cents, and the world looks so much better. I'm always looking for cheap treasure. Then I drove to your house to see if your light was on. I even parked and walked up to your door. I could hear you inside singing my favorite song, but it didn't sound the way it did before. A whirlwind romance never had a chance. Lasted from autumn till the very first snow. I hardly got a memory to hurt about, just the pain of falling.
Okay, let's get back to Lori's interview and talk about how she writes songs.
Your lyrics are just fresh with imagery, and they're about ordinary lives, but they bring such color to the amazing ordinary life.
Thank you.
An honor to it. What is your songwriting routine? Do you write all the time or just when you're inspired?
No. I'm terrible. I'm the worst and most undisciplined person. I live in Nashville, and I guess maybe I feel guilty about it because people actually make appointments to sit down and write, but things just sort of like come over me and I sit down and write them, so it's just kind of feast or famine. I'm real particular, so I have a big box that is full of little pieces of songs. I have hundreds of pages on my computer of crazy stuff. Sometimes I go through it and I'll glean out something and work with it.
Well, you know, I find that in talking with songwriters, there's different kinds of songwriters. Some of them do better with like a 9-to-5, get up in the morning, write, do it this many hours, and do it every day or 5 days a week or something. and have it almost like an office routine. And it works for them. But other people, that actually makes them a little numb.
Right.
And interferes with inspiration because it becomes sort of mundane. And I don't think there's a right and a wrong here. I think it's just to find out what works for you and what digs the deepest inside you as a songwriter, you know?
For me, it's everything's on a song-by-song basis, whatever style it is, whatever style of music it is, whoever's singing it. If it touches me in some way, then that's great. And I don't have any rules for even the style or anything. I can hear a singer for years that I never liked any songs they play, you know, and then all of a sudden they record something I love and I just, you know, I don't go, oh, it's that singer I don't like. I just go, that song, it's that song. And I especially love lately the old songs from the 30s. Beautiful, subtle chord changes with those amazing melodies. And really those songs that used to sound like my parents' music that I really thought was kind of corny. And now after living a few years and having lots of different successes and failures in relationships and different things, I go, wow, those songs really had a lot to say and they really mean something and they really make me feel something.
You've been performing for over 20 years. How have you learned to balance your journey through music and motherhood?
Oh, it's really intense. I used to get up in the middle of the night and write songs because it was the only time I had any quiet time. But my children are all grown up and they've all moved out of the house now. And this is the first time I've been able to really think about doing music full time. I think I wrote much more regularly when my kids were younger and it was chaotic around my house because I would grab that time and just cherish it, you know, from like 3 to 5 in the morning. So this is my heaven, and it's a utopian dream of mine, and I wish that the world could be like this. I hope it's true. It's a prayer. It's kind of a protest song.
In my heaven, the jokes are all funny. You don't need money. Everything's free in my heaven. No need for pretending, 'cause you can be whatever you want to be. And in my heaven, nobody cares what race or religion you are, 'cause life's fair. There's no natural disaster, no famine, no wars, and no terrible secrets behind closed doors. And the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, will lick your face and walk by your side, and no one gets killed, 'cause nothing can die in my heaven. My heaven, oh my. In my heaven, you don't need a car. You just wish to be upon any star. You can fly with the seagulls or glide with the eagles. In my heaven, you could stay right where you are. And your great-great-grandbaby and your great-great-grandma can dance with your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. As time comes together for the whole human race, for always and ever in infinite space. And in my heaven, everyone can swim and scuba dive without oxygen, and the water is clear, no toxins dumped in, and all of the sharks are vegetarians, and if you ask them, they'll give you rides on their fins. You can be silly and no one will glare. daddies do what mommies and daddies are supposed to do, just like the Banks family after Mary Poppins left and all of the children are little angels too. And everyone's healthy and no one gets sick. If you get gum in your hair, it will not stick, and the stars and the sun are brighter than bright, but you never get sunburned, 'cause love is the light. And your great-great-grandbaby, great-great-grandpa can dance with your great-great-great-great-great-grandma, 'cause time comes together for the whole human race, for always and ever in infinite space. And the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, will lick your face and walk by your side, and no one gets killed, 'cause nothing can die in my heaven, my heaven, my heaven, oh my.
Lori McLean on All Things Vocal Radio. Now back to the interview.
Your latest release is the 2009 14-song CD, Ascend. Ascend was recently nominated for 4 awards and took 3rd place in the Just Plain Folks, JPF, Awards Best New Folk Album for 2009. The JPF Awards, nicknamed the Grassroots Grammys, is the largest music awards in history, with over 42,000 albums submitted in 50 genres. Congratulations.
Thank you. That was really exciting to get nominated for that, because there was so many records considered, and they were sent out to like 25,000 people listened to the music, you know. So it was a real consensus of a lot of people instead of just a few judges.
Yeah.
So it just really felt extra special. It just felt really good.
And this album and other albums that you've done, you've surrounded yourself with the master singers and musicians. Musicians like Stuart Duncan and Brian Sutton and all kinds of other people. And my friends, Pam Tillis and Kathy Chiavla, does keeping company with great music makers and songwriters increase the benchmark for your own work?
I think so, yeah. It's, when you've got, you know, Kenny Vaughan and Stuart Duncan and Pam Tillis and stuff wanting to play on your record, it's like it makes you want to go in and do your very, very best. And it gives me a lot of confidence, because when your peers recognize what you do, yeah, it makes you feel like, well, yeah, I can really do this. Because, you know, there's a lot of times when in my life I've thought, what am I, crazy? You know, what am I doing this for? This has got to be the craziest thing. But I just can't help it. There's no way I can stop. It's in my blood.
You recently purchased my vocal training CDs for Power Path and Performance.
I did.
And as long as you've been singing, and as much live work and recording work that you've done, I think it's really smart that you want to keep even getting better as a singer. How do you use those CDs?
Well, it's been really wonderful. I've actually been on a quest for the last several years to address some problems I've been having vocally. Actually, I've kind of discovered it's been tension has been my main enemy, okay? And it's really been fun listening to your CDs, because they're just so creative. There's so many aha experiences on your training program, and I just had so much fun. I still listen to it, and it just really spoke to me in a lot of ways. I never thought of that. And one of my favorite things is just opening up your eyes and, you know, opening up your face so that you can resonate, get all this other stuff on automatic, and you express the song where song is the king, you know. And you can't be worrying about this note being at the right pitch. And that's like the kiss of death. You know you're going to miss it when you start thinking about it. You know, I've always really loved your voice. It really stood out when I heard Until I Met You. And then I remember the Bob Dylan story of how he said, you know, you can pick a song. I'm so curious about that. You know, I'd love for you to tell me about that sometime.
Oh, my gosh, I will. Well, Lori, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy Vida Loca to hang out with me today on All Things Vocal. And I wish you just the best of success.
Good luck to you, and I'll see you down the road.
You seem so sure of yourself. I want to be like you. I was listening to your words. So true, I want to be like you. You walk with joy and confidence. You hold your own with boys and men. You treat everyone as a friend. I want to be like you. You tell me to be myself. No one else. I want to be like you. I want to speak my mind, live on the fine line too. I want to be like you. I have walked this earth in fear. See things clear. I see light in your eyes, like you know what you're doing here. I want to be like you. Once I had a vivid daydream. I turned into a hurricane. I was spinning debris and rain. It seemed so real. I felt insane. Deep in the center of my being was a stillness, watching, listening. Stillness, you will die. And I knew it was true. I want to be like you. So calm and wise. You don't have to try. Smiling eyes. You don't know how to lie. I want to be like you.
And that's it for All Things Vocal today. You can find Lori McLean and her music at www.lorimclain.com. LauriMclain.
I can fix you, I can teach you.
For more information about my vocal training and production services, go to www.judyrodman.com. Thanks for listening. And join me next week on the New Artist Radio for another round of All Things Vocal.